So we talked about some questions to ask these guys, and what I did is I just decided to write all new questions. I didn't tell you guys anything. Nah, I'm just kidding. Danielle's looking at me like, I'm going to kill you. So we thought it would be great to just take a few moments to just kind of learn a little bit about the journey and the process. And it's hard to believe it's 5 years, but here we are. So there was a point where Justin and Danielle were living in Pennsylvania. Justin was on staff at a church, and Danielle was teaching, right? You guys had a house and two cats. Life was perfect, right? Then God began to speak to you guys about, like, kind of bailing on all that and moving to this community. So I'm kind of curious if you guys couldn't share a little bit about, like, what it was like to have that conversation between the two of you about, like, that first conversation where you're like, I think we should sell our house and move to where we don't have jobs. Yeah.
Well, this is really my fault. All this started out with, as Randy said, I was working at a church, and part of one of my responsibilities at that day at this event that we hosted at the church that we were at in Pennsylvania was hosting a church planters boot camp. And I was there because I was overseeing some teams that were part of that event, and it was an East Coast event, so with a lot of people at our church. All these weirdos, these church planters. And I'm like, okay, you know, we'll do a good job with the audio for you, you know, and our teams will take care of the worship spots in the event itself. And it was at that event that I was working that God gripped my heart for this thing called church planting. And I didn't really know a whole lot about church planting. I knew that we were part of a group of people that were passionate about this idea of planting, but I didn't really know until I went through that boot camp all that was entailed. And I felt like, I came away from that event feeling very stirred in my heart, realizing that even looking, you know, kind of inwardly at what happens in church life, my whole life I grew up kind of like thinking, you know, this is great, churches, this time is for us. We come together, and a lot of times I would only see believers. You know, it was just believers that were gathering. And I'm like, well, how does this idea of the Great Commission that I learned about in Sunday school work itself out in the world? And started reading, started looking into some things, and this event really spurred that on. And I realized at some point along the way that this guy named Paul went around all over, you know, Asia Minor and the Middle East, and planted churches as a means of seeing people come to know who Jesus was. And that really stirred in my heart when I heard that message, the mission of God for the first time. Something changed. And I came home and told Danielle how I was feeling, and I actually even said, I think pretty early on, I said, I think maybe God might be calling me to this, and I don't know if it means that we're going to be staying here. And I don't think she was very pleased, but I can hand off at that point.
So when Justin broke this news to me, he had at that point he had had like sleepless nights about it, and at that point I didn't know that was on his heart. And so when he shared it with me, it was okay, so let's think about this. So we started thinking about, you know, where do we feel like God is moving us, and all of that. So we got out a map. We literally got out a map of New Hampshire and just kind of prayed and asked God and give us a sense. And as we were looking at the map, we kind of saw Keene, and we were both like, have you ever been to Keene? Nope, we've never been to Keene. But let's see if that's what we want to do. And that's literally how it happened. So I'm trying to think, how long did we, before we told Bob and they sent us?
Well, we were fairly nervous about, you know, breaking this news to our leadership in Pennsylvania, who, by the way, Bob and Marilyn, our sending pastors, were going to be joining us today, this weekend, actually, and they both have come down with the flu. So they called us last minute and said, we're not able to make the trip, but we send our love and their congrats to all of us for this milestone. They also were church planters, so they are very well familiar with the process and the excitement and the hardships and all that goes along with church planting. So there are some people that have walked in our shoes. They're very special to Danielle and I, but it was a little bit before we sat down with them to let them know after God had kind of confirmed some things for us, I think. Yeah,
so what I was just going to say to that was, so when we came here, so Bob and Marilyn ended up sending us, all right, if that's what you're feeling, why don't you go take a trip? You've never been there and see what you think. And I mean, it was just crazy. We literally came to Keene, stayed at that time. It was the Lane Hotel and downtown. And we ended up meeting like 20 people by the end of the weekend. We ended up being invited to someone's house. We came in on, I think, a Thursday night or Friday morning. By Saturday night, we were at some stranger's house having a family dinner with them and about 20 other people. Went to a church service the next day, had a stand up, never met us before, and said, we're having church planters come to town. And like, we left, and so we got in the car, headed back to Pennsylvania, and we're like, what just happened? Like, we literally have like 20 new friends, and it was just crazy. And they ended up being like our welcoming party when we came again in May before we moved in August, and we were looking for housing in May. And they were like our welcoming committee. It was really, really fascinating how that all worked out.
That's so cool. So I imagine early on in this process, you had like all these ideas of how things were going to happen and what was going to happen. And, you know, we all do that. We enter into a new phase in life and we're like just sure all these great things are going to happen. So what's one thing that you were sure was going to happen and maybe hasn't happened yet? Can you think of anything?
Oh, yeah. it's like trying to figure out what not to say is really the... for me, I did not realize we would be gathering so quickly with a group of people in an organized way. So what I mean by that is we arrived in August of 2012, and we thought that maybe a year of time spending in an area and being among the people and, you know, learning the culture and just being part of a community for a while before we felt like God would gather people together. We started meeting in a group house, and that's a whole story, but suffice to say, we started gathering with people in January. So December, January, that era. And it was crazy to me because I didn't think that would ever happen. I didn't think that that God was reminding us that he's part of this. And there actually are people that are part of this too. And that was really cool because God was already at work in the hearts and lives of other people that began to gather in those early days. And it was so helpful for us coming out of Pennsylvania and our expectations, you know, that totally blew my expectations out of the water. Maybe I didn't have a faith or something, but it was like, wow, God is pushing this thing faster than I ever thought he would. And yeah.
I think one thing we had hoped and expected, that didn't end up happening was we thought we'd come with a team. And so we started asking, we asked two specific couples and then others to pray about it. And no one ended up wanting to take that move. And so it was July and we were supposed to move in August and we still had no one but Justin and Danielle and 8-month-old or 7-month-old Abby. And we were at a regional conference, and Justin had just led worship. And this pastor that we really admire from North Jersey, he was a part of the worship session and then ran and found Justin after and was like, you need to go. You need to go, you need to move, and you need to go without a team, and you'll find your people there. And he, like, just spoke those words, and I don't know if he realizes how much of a confirmation it was, because at that time, we were still like, what are we doing? Are we moving? Are we not? And he just confirmed it, and from then on, we didn't doubt at all. Like, in August, when we moved, we had no place to live, no jobs, a 9-month-old or an 8-month-old baby to take care of, and we literally left our house, two awesome jobs, our entire church family that we called our family, and we went. And yeah, so the expectation of ending up going by our on our own, but then on the flip side, he was right. The North Jersey pastor was so right that there were people that this was on their hearts too, and when we all combined, there was our team.
Yeah, including this guy right here. God roped him into this thing.
Yeah, we moved from Pennsylvania too, but we didn't know these guys in Pennsylvania. And we could live anywhere in New England, and God laid Keene on our heart. And I said to Lorena, wouldn't it be cool if we found a church plant to help out? And Lorena said, no. Right? And so as soon as we got here and we found you guys, we knew that we just feel like that's why God brought us here. So anyway. But I'm sure along the way there's been doubts of this whole process. So maybe can you share like a doubt and how God kind of stepped in and revealed, no, I'm in this. I got your back on this. You know, maybe you can share a story.
Yeah. One of the most disappointing things that I think early on took place was, well, we got this idea that we would do an egg hunt. You know, I don't know who gave us this idea, just bright idea to do an egg hunt. But part of what they tell you as you're learning about church planting and gathering folks is that you get involved in the community, and as a way to reach people, you do things like egg hunts. You know, you put on egg hunts. So we were like, what if we put on the best egg hunt that Keene has ever seen? And, we were like, yeah, we will, you know, with the intentions that maybe there are people that are looking for a church home among these people. And we were like, you know, we were all excited because we found this space in downtown Keene at what was called the Life Art Center, which is Hannah Grimes' incubator now. And we secured this place, and we were like, okay, we've got it. We're going to do this big egg hunt. We're going to, you know, just kill it. And then people that go there that don't have a church home or looking for something to be a part of are gonna come to Praxis. And that Sunday, which we deemed our launch Sunday, I think there were more people working as volunteers to put the Sunday thing on than there actually were people in the chairs. So I take that back. There were literally nobody from an egg hunt with 600 people that showed up. Zero people from that event transitioned to our Sunday launch Sunday. And that was pretty tough. Like, I mean, I remember walking in there and looking around and being like, am I at the wrong place? Like I just couldn't believe it. So our expectations were blown out of the water that day. Mine personally were pretty blown out of the water. And I'm still trying to, you know, kind of maintain like a, you know, excitement and like, this is going to be great, you know? Like, but here we are on launch Sunday and like there literally is nobody there except for our team and the small group of people that were there. I thought I had done everything right, like textbook, like you follow up with people, you do really good follow-up from your event. There was invites to come to our Sunday thing. Nobody cared about our Sunday thing. Mm-hmm. Nobody cared. And that blew my mind. Like, just, we are not in Kansas anymore, Toto. One of those moments. We are literally in a place where nobody cares about your Sunday thing. And then it became a matter of realizing that God is in the business of meeting people individually in their lives one by one and through relationship. So that was an expectation that was, yeah.
So I would say we have had lots of doubts and have struggled through lots of doubts and still have doubts. But I do feel like the amount of God working in people has outnumbered those doubts. And I would say one first one that comes right on the top of my mind is when we first moved here. Like I said, we had no jobs, no place to stay, And nothing. Literally our car and our 8-month-old baby. And I eventually got this paraprofessional job that was an hour away, and I was leaving my 8-month-old baby to work at a job that was nowhere near what I was doing in Pennsylvania. I was a reading specialist in Pennsylvania, so it was very humbling. And we thought when we got here, Justin, in a couple weeks, would find a job, no big deal, and we'd get an apartment, and everything would be great. Well, he couldn't find a job for the life of him. We were living with our sister, Justin's sister at the time, and we had to get out of that situation, and we needed to move here so that I could drive to my job. So we ended up in a motel, and didn't know where we would stay after that. And then a couple we had met 2 weeks previously, we had met them once. They heard that we were staying in a hotel. And days in, if you've ever been there, it's a very dark place. It was not the most uplifting time we've had. And we only had one car at the time. And so Justin was staying with Abby, pushing her in a stroller while I was at work all day. It was just, and I'd cry to work on the way home from work. And anyway, so this couple who we had met once said, "We know you're at the motel. We want you to come live with us. We'll get a fifth wheel trailer and put it in our yard, and we'll set you up with electric and water." And so there we go, from the motel to a fifth wheel trailer in someone's backyard. They said you can stay till the winter time. Luckily, we were able to find an apartment within 2 weeks. And we found this little apartment in Keene that we could afford. It was this crazy, if you've ever looked for housing in Keene or apartments, they're not online. So like you literally have no way of finding apartments. So we were out one night with Abby, and she always attracted people, her cute little smile. And there was this drunk couple, and they come up, and they're like so drunk, and they're like, "You should come live in our apartments. They're great." And they're like, they like went on and on about how awesome these apartments were. And so we were like, "Okay, yeah." And so we got their number. Somehow we got their number. We called them the next day. They did not remember us in the least. And let me tell you, the apartments were not that great. It was worse than the apartment.
The apartments were not great is an understatement there. I need to clarify this. This was worse than a college dorm for a single guy. It was bad.
And so, yeah, I was going to say it was worse than our first apartment as college students married. So there we were. Our couch didn't even fit into our apartment. So, so all of that's happening. And then circumstances happen, and we end up finding out we both don't have jobs again. So no jobs. Now we have an apartment, but no jobs again. And that was the moment I think we broke. It was November. It was actually the weekend of Abby's first birthday. And we were, what are we doing? What were we thinking? And it was crazy how God, here it is, God intervening. Our friends from Pennsylvania were here to celebrate Abby's first birthday. So we had all of our friends and family that we had known for years, and there they were surrounding us with prayer and love and comfort during the time we needed them most. And so it wasn't just through a phone call. They were like literally there hugging us as we, you know, felt like, what are we doing? And so, yeah, there have been so many moments. That's, like, the first one that comes off the top of my head because it was such a God moment. But there have been so many moments where we're like, what are we doing? Why are we here? And then God breaks through and has this amazing revelation to us that this is why we're here. This is why we gave it all up to be on mission for him.
Amen. Amen. That's so cool. So we love your kids, right? I just have like, I want to hear a story, like maybe a funny story about like because Soren would call exchange groups exchange groups, right?
That's what I
is it? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I stole your thunder.
It's all good. Yeah, our kids just love, they love everything Praxis. I mean, as we were practicing this morning, you know, it just, it's been a constant thing, but every time, there's something about it that's even more than they know, but they come in every Sunday a little earlier, and they just run down this center aisle here, and, you know, they just run up, you know, on stage, and it's really cool. Every time I have that experience, it's something, it's special, you know. And I love that my kids love church. I've always thought about, like, my kids, you know, being pastor's kids, you know. And there's so much that can go along with that, you know. And there's a lot of stigmas, and there's a lot that I think we talk about to avoid some of the what's attached to all that, you know. And my prayer and hope is that my kids grow up to love Jesus and that they love the beautiful mess that is his church. And that's our prayer constantly. But yeah, I mean, the first time Soren came and said that he asked me if we were going to have exchange group tonight. And so exchange groups are, you know, our mechanism for meeting midweek, and we've been doing that from the beginning. But he just to this day still says, you know, are we having exchange group tonight? Emphasis on the strange. so great.
I think it's awesome that Abby and Soren, when they do their prayers, it's always, thank you, God, for Praxis Church. Thank you, God, for Exchange Group. And they mean it. Like, we have not taught them that. They love the church. And I think that's our fear, is that, you know, Praxis Church does take up a lot of our time, but we do try to include them as much as possible to be a part of that. And we never want them to think we, you know, that to be off balance. So for them to really love church, love exchange group, is awesome for us. Another thing that just happened in our exchange group last couple weeks is, so Abby and Soren are the only kids right now, so they're in our little playroom, and but they can hear everything going on. And their conversations are awesome. So every now and then, Justin will stop talking or whoever stop talking just so we can hear them, their conversations. But all on their own, they came, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and we were praying for another teacher, which I found to be cool, and praying for one of her students. And Abby and Soren both, all on their own, laid their hands on this woman and were, like, very intent on praying for them. And, again, this was not, come here, put your hand, you need to do this. Like, this is them seeing and hearing and feeling the warmth of our church and it, like, impacting a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. Yeah.
That's cool. So one of the things that I think is so great about Praxis Church is Praxis Kids. You know, it's not uncommon to, you know, after the service have kids just screaming and running in circles, right? And sometimes I'm like, wow, but then I have to, like, stop myself and say, wait a minute, these kids are awesome, right? And so it's okay. But I just wonder if you wanted to share anything about Praxis Kids. Like,
yeah, I say oftentimes that a church, the health of a church can be oftentimes measured by how many kids you have. And I don't know if you've looked around at all, if you're a regular here at Praxis, but there's a lot of babies either coming or already here. And that's pretty exciting. But we also have a great group of kids. I would say that one of the things that, you know, I think Jesus, you know, as I reflect about Jesus' attitude towards kids, sometimes we can take some pointers from Jesus, right? Like, he, in a time and in a culture where kids were just kind of disregarded, you know, and kind of pushed off to the side, Jesus said, you know, no, let the little children come to me. And I guess we just really tried to make sure that we integrate kids in what we're doing. I mean, you talked about prayer earlier, Randy, and I think, you know, our kids are learning how to pray for other people, you know, in ways that I never even learned, you know, to pray for other people and to believe that God is in the business of touching their hearts and in their lives. And it's just so cool to see, you know, to see almost a transferring of values to our practice kids. And they just, I always say, you know, whenever we're gathered in a gathering, like whenever I hear a kid crying or running around or whatever, it's okay for me. Like, I love that. Like, I love that God has gifted us and blessed us with our kids, and he's looking to us to be able to really shepherd them and their hearts as we point them to Christ, you know, as we're not afraid as adults and leaders to say, this is where I'm wrong, but you have a better leader than me, you know, and that's Jesus. And so constantly pointing them back to that. The first time we ever experienced the salvation was, I'll let you share it.
So early on, we were at the Crotos house and down in a basement, and we got some materials, and there's a few of us moms that would take turns going down to the basement and working with, maybe there was about 5 to 10 of the ten kids, probably 5 or 8 kids. And it was just during a time where it was hard. There was someone who had mentioned, you know, well, you're sending Danielle off to the basement. That was kind of the vibe someone was saying to us, that that there wasn't meaning in the basement, basically, is how it came across. That, you know, Justin's leading up front. He gets to be the one leading the group, and you're just sending Danielle to the basement. And obviously, it struck a chord, and it was hard to, like, work through that. No, I'm not being sent to the basement. This is what my passion is to love on the kids. And anyway, that comment was made literally that week. And that next group time, we didn't call them exchange groups at the time. It was our Thursday service. We were down in the basement and literally talking, going through a lesson, not really talking about asking Jesus in our hearts or nothing at that point. And I had one little girl raise her hand, and I was like, yes. And she goes, I want to ask Jesus in my heart. And I was like, what? I don't know if I've ever gone with a kid through this. And I was like, okay, let's stop right there. And so we prayed together, and we asked Jesus to take over our hearts and to lead us. And I couldn't keep the excitement. I ran upstairs, and I was like, Lauren just accepted Jesus in her heart, and they were crying. And it was just this beautiful moment of, it doesn't matter where you are. Like, we were in the basement, and here we are. Lauren is now one of God's own, and that was a really, really powerful time in my own life. Like, that shook me, and has stuck with me. And then I get the opportunity of being with the kids so much that I have so many stories that I think I could take an entire Sunday to share, but I won't bore you. But my favorite times are when the kids are real. And you hear, like, you know, we have one raise their hand and say, you know, there's a lot of bullying going on at my school, and I don't want that. I don't want there to be bullying. And so we pray together and pray for each other that the bullying would stop, that our own would be the ones to be an example of Jesus in their schools, for them to accept others that aren't the same as them, and really communicating that. And it's such a powerful time in there. The kids have a lot of fun in there, but there is a lot of awesome conversation that happens. And my biggest passion is for the kids to know that they can't do anything to earn God's love, or they can't do anything that unearns God's love. And I think that is such an important thing for them to learn early on. And so, yeah, I mean, everything we're saying is speaking that truth over them.
That's so cool. That's so cool. So we're running a little longer than I thought. Is there anything else that you wanted to share while we're here? I'm wondering, because the one thing that I did want to ask is about the future of Praxis Church. Like, what's your hope for the future of Praxis Church?
Yeah. There's so many. You know, we're at 5 years, and in the world of church planting, they call this a very pivotal year, year five. And my prayer has been the same, really, from the beginning. I mean, the same passion, the same fire in my spirit is the same passion that I feel now for where God has brought us. And I think this year is one of those years that I just keep sensing that God is leading us back to, what does it mean to be a family? What does it mean to be a family? What does it look like to be a family? A family, and we've looked at this, you know, we've been in this series, Disciple. What does it look like to be a follower of Christ so that we know how to make other followers of Christ? So figuring out who we are is going to be a big deal when it comes to figuring out what we've been called to do. And, you know, the idea of being on God's mission, I mean, we're talking about, you know, 5 years as a family on mission. I think that we keep banging the drum of mission, you know, because it's something that's much bigger than us, and it goes outside of us. And it's really neat because we're caught up in this story, God's story, yet it involves our lives. And all of you here intersect with that story somehow. And if you're following Jesus today, you have no choice but to be on his mission. That's what a Christian is. And so we're very, very big and still are on this idea that, you know, there is no such thing as a Christian who isn't a missionary. We've all been sent to go. We've all been called to go to our neighbor or across the pond, you know. We've all been called to go somewhere because this news that we carry can't be contained. If it's the best news we've ever received, then we're going to want to tell somebody about it. And so I guess that's what I would say. Praxis Church, that we continue for the next 5 years banging the drum of mission, because God is after people, and he's going to use us as a family. People are going to see the family, and they're going to say, what is it about that family or those people that is so different and so real and authentic? And all the things that we hear, we want to continue to hear those things for years to come. And we also want to create an environment, again, where this is a place where our kids learn about what it looks like to be a healthy family on mission. So,
that's good.
Okay.
Good. So our hope that you're kind of picking up this idea of family relationship and God working through that. And I just, you know, I hope that you're reminded today that God is at work in your life just as much as he is in these guys' lives.